Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Few people enjoy change. I know I don't like it at all. But as some insist, change is good. But it is in changes where real dangers can lie. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, is here with us today to talk about changes, both good and bad, large and small. Lincoln, the time is yours.
Well, let's see where this goes. No, but I have a burden on, I wouldn't express it quite the same way, but it's the microcosm and the macrocosm that we see the difference. And in religious liberty, I've become convinced that many of our activists, even for religious liberty, and some of our lawyers, they're not so much wasting their time, but they're involved in diversionary activities by reacting to every little legal offense or threat, and they're tending to ignore the huge shifts that bring massive changes with them and will sort of short-circuit these little things that we're worrying about. Or on the positive side, you could solve the little thing and it'd be irrelevant when there's a larger attitudinal shift about even law itself, perhaps.
That's true.
One that we've seen recently that I think has huge ramifications, the Supreme Court changed it, but that is legal, but that's top of the food chain as far as the law. And remember when the Supreme Court said that corporations are individuals. and even as I say that, I think of 1984. You know, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. It's almost a doublespeak statement. Yes. Corporations are individuals? I don't think so. But the Supreme Court legally said they were. And the traction they got for it was because corporations are made up of individuals. Mm-hmm. But in a perverse way, they've actually given an authority to a corporate structure equal to that of the sovereign citizen. And so we saw in the last election, citizens who are limited in their contributions to a campaign have to work alongside corporations that through PACs or whatever can give unlimited amounts. Mm-hmm. There's a huge decision at the top that's just short-circuited all number of other things. There's a status change on what is an individual. And religious liberty in regards to the Constitution could undergo the similar shift. For example, even on the Catholic Church, and I didn't plan on bringing this in, but it seems apropos right now, the Roman Catholic Church is very much to the fore on religious liberty endeavors, mostly because of Vatican II, I think, which has sharpened their views on through the document Dignitatis Humanae on the rights of man. But they also have an emerging doctrine called for the common good. So for the common good, while you believe in the individual's right for religious liberty, the common good might mandate that that be submerged in a larger purpose.
The common good overrides the individual rights.
Overrides
then.
It. Okay. All right. And you know, people wouldn't necessarily see that coming because at the same time they can be talking about religious freedom and the wonderful personal liberties that we have, they could be supporting a worldview that could suddenly take it all away. This is happening in our society. This is happening in the law, as I said, with this one Supreme Court case. And I do think, thinking now for Seventh-day Adventists, let's get specific.
Okay.
You and I are Seventh-day Adventists, yes. and we try to project an Adventist viewpoint. We look at the Bible and we see, as other Christians do, very clear indications of a time of trouble and the characteristics that will surround the end of time. And as part of that, we were told by Ellen White, who we believe had some prophetic insights, but she really mostly was just with her fellow Adventists extrapolating or discussing Bible texts. Mm-hmm. But she said there something very telling. She said, the day will come when the United States will actually repudiate, is the term word she used, every element of the Constitution, every principle of the Constitution. Mm. Now, how will that happen? And many Seventh-day Adventists, I think, in religious liberty areas have looked at that from a small microcosm legal point of view. And they're always trying to stop this or that law, and then even constitutional conventions and so on, thinking that it will be formally changed, when the most likely way is just what we've seen with the Citizens United. There'll be a massive conceptual shift that may appear to those even pushing it through to be good and logical, but the net effect could be to just sort of cut out all of these previous provisions. I don't know that it's a good analogy, but it comes to mind that, you know, we have constitutional protections of the individual. We have legal understandings, posse comitatus, against the military used against citizenry. But last year, I think it was, the Defense Authorization Act specified very particularly that the military can operate in the United States, and not against, but in the context of the regular community. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an earth-shaking shift, and yet it was passed. We'll see where it goes. There's always the chance the court could decide this is unconstitutional, but I have a feeling in the emergencies that people feel we're in, it's going to become the operative principle. But it neatly counteracts and eventually will nullify constitutional protections.
Lincoln, let me ask you this question. If we are to guard ourselves against the big problems, that would seem to be easier than guarding ourselves against the small shifts. If we see this little law that comes in, or this little statement that is said, or this little inference that is included in what someone, in some speech someplace, or some political statement, how do we guard ourselves against the little stuff? Because you're saying that the little stuff sometimes can generate big stuff in our lives.
I do believe that it's the really big shifts that are the important ones, not the little ones. Even though the little ones can soon add up to a big one. But if the big issue is understood and taken care of, so many little ones.
In other words, we have to understand the big before we can really attack the little.
Right.
Okay.
And if we're getting a lot of the little problems, it probably tells me that we probably don't understand the big picture. And I do think, like on the U.S. Constitution, and I've studied it very well. I'm not a lawyer, but I've read it and studied and read it again.
Yes.
And it troubled me the other day when our legislators read it aloud. In fact, it's troubled me more than anything that's happened lately, because they obviously didn't know it. They misread it and missed out parts and duplicated parts, and it's just horrible. It's like a grade school, or a failing class trying to fudge it in front of the teacher.
Yes.
But, if we know the Constitution and what it's meant to protect, then you've got a radar out on everything that can pick it up.
Yes.
But if you're doing what too many of our lawyers do, sort of nitpick it to death, you could miss the big thing. And the big thing can be taking place on a huge scale while you're sidetracked dealing with something little that really derives from the bigger issue. We had a program another time on the drones, for example.
Yes. Yes.
That gets traction because people have lost sight of the real dignity and the protection of the individual and the very nature of government to represent the people, not to keep an eye on the people.
Yes, yes.
And so if you get that straight, it'll tend to just obviate some of these problems rather than tackling the problem itself. We've been in some ways deceived, not by forethought, after 9/11, where there's certain apparent security needs, we haven't thought critically about what we're setting up to deal with that, that it may actually be very counter to great principles of freedom, dignity, and so on, and even to the very basic rule of law. The British system, which the U.S. inherited, is that you are innocent until proven guilty, and that you are to be subject to the judgment of your peers, not by some star court, star chamber. That's been a great protection for freedom in the United States, but we're losing that at the speed of light. You think of all the things that we're doing. We're getting away with jury trials because there's some overload in the legal system. We're allowing either security institutions or even a White House situation room to decide who will live and who will die, even of American citizens. And you don't have to prove that those are malicious things, but they only exist when the group has sort of lost sight of a larger principle. And another big principle in the United States is that all religions have dignity, and all religions, even ones you hate and see as dangerous, have a right to exist. And yet in the war on terror, which involves religious craziness, I think we're crossing the line where we sort of think, well, if it's a matter of security, it short circuits these. And it shouldn't.
You know, as I hear you talk about this, not only are you the editor of Liberty Magazine, you're a pastor, you're a Christian pastor, and I know that there is an overarching law that God has put into our hearts that sometimes we lose sight of, and that's the new commandment he gave to us. He said what? What is the overarching law that all Christians should have as the foundation by which they judge everything they do and everything that is done to them? What would be that law?
I love God and love one another.
If we love one another. Think about that. Yeah. If we really loved other people, would we really be so tied up in these little tiny itsy-bitsy arguments and making laws and standing for our rights and all that if we love one another? And as a country, we are a country that is supposed to be giving freedom to the world. If we are giving freedom to the world, we act differently. If we love people, we act differently. Am I on the right track here?
Absolutely. And something very understandable but yet ominous happened after 9/11. I remember, I think, Vice President Cheney said the gloves were coming off.
Yeah.
And we were going to ostensibly keep to the Geneva Conventions, although I think the president later sort of dismissed them as not relevant to this conflict. But we were going to sort of repay in kind, when that is to miss the whole point. Philosophically, we were trying to set up a society of a different order.
Yeah.
It's not that we gauge our response by what the others are doing. If they get a little more evil, we will become a little more evil. Our whole be-all and end-all should have been to have the high moral ground, not the higher, slightly higher than the other party. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean anything. You know, if he's cutting off heads and we just cut off ears, that doesn't make us good guys. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be torturing people under any circumstances. We should be not naive, you know, running security and so on, but presuming that most human beings want good, want stability, and that we can deal with other countries. But, you know, calling countries the axis of evil is not really good. I mean, I can say that because we've come to our senses a bit since that was first said.
Yeah.
But it's never good to demonize an entire people. We don't like it when we're called the great Satan by Iran, because it can't be so. Most people I know are good people. Mm-hmm. And it's the same around the world. We really need to have the moral high ground. And in religious liberty, trying to make the application again, there's some bad, bad religions around. But unless they do something bad to me in a way of hurting my person or restricting some basic right of human existence, we have to allow them to exist and even think well of their intentions.
Well, again, our time has flown by. Lincoln Steed, thank you so much for being with us today.
Always a pleasure.
Our website, libertymagazine.org. Check it out, listener, libertymagazine.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.